right, Psalm 123, please. All right, let's all stand, please. I chose these pilgrim psalms, I don't know when, sometime last year, that I wanted to kind of work with them. I don't know about you, I enjoyed myself so much this morning, I'd rather not preach tonight. So if you'll pay for us to go out, we can just pray and go. I'm being serious. I enjoyed this morning because I realized something. If we don't grasp how to experience the joy and gladness of the Lord, and listen, and none of the fake stuff that Christians do, you know, getting surgery like Joel Osteen, so they, and you're like, turn that off to just enjoy the journey we have with the Lord. Three words: anticipation, participation, reflection. That's life, friends. That's how you learn to enjoy where you're at. And we all struggle. Tonight is a much simpler message, and I'm glad we have some young people here. I want to say to everybody, tonight is just, you just need to get used to it. Tonight is simple, 30 minutes less, we're done. But what I'm going to say, which I enjoyed this morning more, that tonight is just like part of life. And I want to say before we read, I have spent the last 30 years of my life trying to escape the activities of the journey. Because I want to get someplace where I'm above all of that. I'm going to tell you when that's going to happen. It happened to Jimmy Carter's wife today. From what I understand, a Christian, her and her husband, grew up in a church like this. By the way, Fred Moritz says one of the best Sunday schools he's ever sat in. He wandered into a church 30 or 40 years ago, and Jimmy Carter was teaching Sunday school. As long as you kept him out of anything that had to do with politics, leadership, separation, but actually as a practical Christian, he got it. By the way, you know, he spent 30, 40 years doing what? Habitat for Humanity. And that, he didn't do that for people to see. Well, his wife is gone. By the way, you never get beyond what we're going to talk about. It's simple stuff, but you're just going to do it your whole life. Ladies, let me say it your way. Do you think you're ever going to have to stop doing the laundry? I'm asking. You say, I want to get rich. Somebody's going to do the laundry. What about cleaning the bathroom? Every once in a while, I look at my bathroom, and my basic premises about cleaning my bathroom is, will my wife be mad if I don't do something? Verse 1, please. Well, it starts with a song of degrees, which is what? That's a step. Stepping forward to Jerusalem, unto thee lift I up mine eyes. O thou that dwellest in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that we have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning or scoffing of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Four very simple activities. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful text and this night. Help me to be able to share some very simple ideas with everyone here. Lord, sometimes on Sundays it's too much. We've had too much taught, too many things to think about. I'd rather just preach this morning's sermon again, though tonight is just real simple. The things we must continue to do. Help us to learn, or relearn, or keep doing. these basic premises. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I got to go to India, as opposed to you, Dada, to go to the Philippines, you just get on a plane and fly to Manila. Maybe you can fly to Cebu, too, I think, from outside. Maybe any other place. Maybe Davao. Maybe. You can go to Pampanga from outside now. To go to India, you have to go as a tourist. And by the way, they're a real stickler on something, and I learned the trick, and the trick isn't hard. You have to have, look at me, an address. And if you have an address and a phone number, you can just walk right through India's security. But if you don't, they're going to wonder what you're doing in India. So when I went to India, I had an address of a place in Munnar, which is this. Flew into the north, into New Delhi, which is where most of the flights go in, and I had to fly all the way to the south, to Kerala, which is a state, to the city of Cochin. And when I got there, of course, they messed up the flights, which I'm not going to talk about, and I had to do some extra things. I got there in the morning, and in Cochin, and of course, by the way, Kerala is a rainy state, and it was raining. Grabbed my stuff, walked out, could not find my guy that was going to pick me up. I finally found him. And then we drove 4.5 hours to Munnar. Now, I could have shown you pictures, but you saw some this morning. We were going there because that is where the world-famous tea plantations are, our tea gardens, which is just beauty to behold. I showed some of those a couple weeks ago. Well, the first day we got there, and we actually got there in the evening, I was exhausted from the flight and being upside down and all that. So we finally got there. We ate something, and I told Alan, by the way, you hire a driver in a car. You don't just hire a car. You have, just like that, you hire somebody to drive you around. And I said, well, all right, I'm done for the night. I'm going up, and I'm going to bed. Went up, went to bed. I'd seen tea gardens driving in. Woke up the next morning, and the place I was staying, second floor up, walked to my balcony, looked out. And all I could see as far as I could look was fog. Nothing. I said, okay, no tea gardens this morning. I went to eat, came back. I could barely see some things. Then the whole day, the guy took me all over every place. We went to a famous lake. We went to a dam. I could have taken an elephant ride. But I have to pay double. So... there was a lot of wonderful things. We went to different places. We went to some dams and locks. I even went to a tea factory where they made the tea. Jenny, that's where I got the tea for us, and I got some for Satish and his wife and the family. I went there. That was fascinating. And I learned something there. All the tea gardens that I had seen, you know who started them? British. And through a process of many, many, many years, the Brits left a long time ago. Today, those tea gardens are owned by the people that work them. Not a corporation, though there is a corporation that owns like 10% or something. The tea gardens are owned by the workers. So I was really only on vacation, so don't none of you get nervous. I was on vacation a grand total of 1 full day and a half a day. I was at Munnar 2 nights, but the first night we got there in the evening, and then I spent all day and then the evening. And the beautiful thing was the second day we were going to do a couple things and drive back to Kochi and catch a plane. When I woke up the next morning, I walked out, and the first thing I saw was tea plantations as far as you could see. And then I saw something weird. Right down underneath of me, literally right down, but it's down the hill, it's not a mountain exactly, high hill. I saw people, and they had all kinds of clothing on. And then it was the weirdest thing in the world. Then it dawned on me, they're the people that own the place, and they're coming here to pick the leaves. And it was like an army. It did this. And they scattered every place. Why? It's their livelihood. It's their life. Hear me. It's their activity. Every day they have to go and harvest the right color of leaves all over these hillsides. And it was just the most beautiful thing because there's these little rows and they were all gathered and they just spread like that and they were every place and you could see them working. And they work mainly in the mornings. Beautiful. See, why do you say that? Activities. By the way, friend, if you own a tea garden, what do you do every day? I'm asking you a question. You pick your nose, right? You go on vacation, right? No, you pick the tea. There's a whole lot about life that's common daily activities that you do every day of your life. You just do them. And here are some of them in the text. What are the activities in this text? Well, the first activity is looking to the Lord, or looking. The psalmist says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Friends, look and live. Do we not sing that song? Because fundamental to who we are is looking to the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Somebody raise their hand. Who got saved hearing that verse? Oh my goodness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in a snowstorm, couldn't get to the church he was going to, went to a church where there was like 10 people maybe, and the pastor didn't make it, and somebody that couldn't preach didn't make it. And the guy got up and preached, and he preached just 5 minutes or so, and all he did was, and by the way, he's looking like this. There's only this group here, and he's looking out saying, and there's one guy. His name is Louis Heras, the pagan. And Spurgeon said, the guy just preached to him. Look unto me. And by the way, guess what happened? Spurgeon got saved from hearing that. Now, later in life, Spurgeon tried to go back and find that guy that preached that. And from my understanding, there was 10 or 12 guys said they were there to preach that sermon. Probably not, but that's what people claimed. Look, Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then in Greek, you have these phenomenal words. It actually is whiplash. The King James says, looking unto, which is fine, but Greek has that preposition, apa, which means this, looking away from everything else on both sides, and then looking to Jesus. By the way, you got saved by looking to Christ. You continue to look away from things, looking unto him, and you never change that practice. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one that begins it, the ones that brings it to a conclusion. You're always looking to Jesus. Some of this has roots back in Numbers, when the people we're again doing wrong. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 21 of Numbers, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. And by the way, they did a lot of sinning. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. By the way, poisonous snakes were biting them and killing them. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Now, let me translate that into Tagalog. Make a fiery sermon, serpent, okay? Make a fiery serpent, like a serpent that's on fire. Set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The idea of Christ replacing our sins, taking sin upon him, and we look to him and him alone. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. John picks up on this, Jesus himself. Verse 14 of John 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Must. By the way, how do you get saved? By looking to Jesus. How do you stay moving forward, keeping looking to Jesus? Everyone look, how about this? Look up here. You know the biggest problem you have in life?
What are they doing?
Why are we so, can I ask, why are we so interested in these? Let me ask a harder question. Maybe I get your attention. Tom's a cop. He gets this. He sees this every day. Why is it when you're driving down the road and somebody has gotten a fender bender, you have to look? Let me ask you a second question. Can you drive by without looking? And then the third question, how many wrecks have you had by looking? Here it is. Just keep your eyes. By the way, the Lord saves you, not someone else. Keep your eyes there. Well, this keeps going. It's repeated, this image. John chapter 8. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, and we keep coming back to that same image, because friends, look and live is a biblical message. John chapter 12, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I say in your notes, it begins with looking, does it not? Looking for salvation, that's where it begins. Looking to the Lord alone. Bambi told me when she talked to her sister, it's heartbreaking, friends, and I'm guessing Bambi's not here because she's dealing with this. Do you ever have to deal? By the way, when's the last time you were told that your sister is going to die out of the blue this month? And they're seeing they're starting to see already major decline. So Bambi last weekend went up there, talked to her sister, and her sister has no problems with Jesus. And the Catholic priest praying for her, and Bambi, and this person blessing her, and maybe baptizing. No, it's looking to the, just like in the Old Testament, you look away from all of this and you look to that serpent, which is the substitute, which ultimately is Christ alone. It's always Christ alone, nothing else. I say in your notes, looking to the crucified Lord. And then we keep on looking. It doesn't stop. Young men, young ladies, and not so young, are you still looking to him? He starts it. He finishes it. He begins it. He brings it to a conclusion. Next, I say, looking to our sovereign Lord. In the Psalm 123, he says this, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Meaning, not that he's far away, distant, but that he is the sovereign of the universe that can come down to earth in his own way, in his own times, and change things and fix things and rearrange things. There is this idea of a sovereign God. We're not looking at a buddy. We're looking to the Lord who can make a difference. Looking to our sovereign Lord. And lastly, we continue looking to Christ for our complete salvation, or for all of our salvation. Not just being justified, going to heaven when you die, but for our sanctification and our ultimate glorification. Everything comes to the same place. Tim, your car might have this. I drive a 2014 Prius, brand new car. I like my Prius. A few years back, we went out west, and I wanted to get a smaller SUV, some kind of thing with a little bigger engine than my Prius for the mountains. Is that fair? Would my Prius go up the mountains? Yes, as long as my wife was pedaling, but I thought, let's get something else. So we flew out to Phoenix, and I had ordered something like a RAV4, smaller SUV, Toyota. I thought that would be perfect. Just Jenny and I, it's more than enough room. We get there, we get off the airplane, we get all of our junk, we go to the place, and the first thing the guy says something like, sorry, we don't have any small SUVs, but we'll upgrade you for free. Okay? By the way, do you trust when somebody says free? It was free, by the way. That part was free. The back side of it wasn't free. I'll get to that in a moment. They had a Cadillac. What was that thing, Jenny? Escalators. All I know is, friend, I could have put my Prius in the back of my car. This thing was massive, okay? And I remember getting in it because when I got in, the first thing I had to do was figure out how to drive it. You know, normally you have a little handle or something. No joke, there was just a little thing you turned. You just turned it to go forward and turned it to, and I'm like, really? And then I got backed out. I wanted to put my suitcase in, and I couldn't get the back of I got the back opened, you know, it was everything was electric, but I couldn't get the back seats to fold down. And I'm starting to think, am I a retard? But it was electronic. I had to find the button, and then they went straight down. I mean, it was crazy, but it was a beautiful truck. You know, I mean, Jenny sat right beside me. Look at me. She sat right beside me over there someplace. It was a massive, big old vehicle. We're driving down the road. It was a lovely car. Now, the backside, yes, whoever said it. Oh, friends, I'm used to, you know, if I get 40, I'm not happy. This thing here, I'd be happy with 4. It was terrible. But it was a great vehicle, except one thing. Tim, I don't know if your car does it, and I didn't know this thing did it. So we're driving down the road, and the speeds are fast in the West. So you're doing 70, 75. There might even, I don't know if there's 80s, but there's fast traffic. I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm talking about the speed limit. You're driving along, and then all of a sudden I look down, and I'm thinking, why am I driving 52 miles an hour? Because my dumb van automatically adjusts for the person ahead of me. So here I am doing this. You say, well, I didn't go out west to drive. I went out west to look. And every time you start looking, I look, what am I driving 42 for? The worst thing is we came around a corner and somebody was flying in from, you know, merging, and they merged in front of me, and we went from about 80 to about 30, like that. And I'm thinking, did you curse? No. By the way, I am going to curse tonight in church. But that's later. But I thought of cursing. You say, well, I didn't, is there a way to turn that stuff off? But I didn't know how to turn. Oh. So then I had to do what? Not only look at the beauty. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever driven through I know you have. Have you ever driven through Monument Valley? You are not looking at your dumb car or your face, your scroll, you're 32, you know. looking. My friend, keep your eye in the right spot. Now, I warned you ahead of time. I'm going to use a curse word. Forgive me. Do you see point two? Some of you aren't getting the joke. Waiting. I remember hearing a theologian 50 years ago nearly, when I was a very young Christian, nearly 50 years. He said, God is the slowest being in the universe. I hate. If this is not a curse word, the word waiting should be. Can I tell you all something? Welcome to the journey. Looking and waiting. That's what we do. Look at the text. It's a beautiful text. He says, behold. And he uses an analogy that we don't quite have, but you can see it in certain. By the way, here's the best way to see this visually in America today. Watch a game of high-level tennis and watch the ball people in the back of the court. What are they doing? They have their eyes on the ball and on the tennis player. If that guy wants a ball, they have to snap to. They are super observant, waiting either on the person that's, you know, hitting or receiving. That's an image in the modern world. They use a little different image. It says, behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, meaning if the master just indicates the mustard over there, snap, you go get it. You're waiting on him. And in the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. Friends, I don't have anything deep to say except this. Do I like waiting? Now, it's interesting. You're going to go to the Philippines, and every time you go, you will. I am also, nothing wrong with the Philippines. I love the Philippines, and I loved India. Every culture is different. You know, there's certain things about Americans that I know. We don't do well with waiting. You know, there's some cultures that actually do okay with waiting. They can actually walk and just kind of, by the way, if you're in most third world countries, you go to the airport and you're supposed to, you know, you just go in there and you'll just see people waiting. And I'm like, well, that's what we have to do. Here are the truths. Very simple. Waiting. waiting for the Lord. Waiting as a servant wants to please, serve, and follow their masters. Every whim, we are waiting on him. And by the way, it never changes. Can I say this? Look at me, friend. Can I say this? I think most American Christians have it upside down. The Lord is waiting on us. We're supposed to be waiting on him. What does he want? What is he looking for? How can we serve him? How can we, and we want, well, Lord, I need to. We're out of whack here. The psalmist knows as we journey toward Jerusalem, this whole concept, keeping your eyes focused on him and waiting on him. Beautiful. I say in your notes, waiting till he motions. That's the whole idea of the hand of your mistress or your master. You're just waiting, and I have seen that. Do you ever want that job in tennis where you're the person, the young man or the young lady? Wait, I don't like that. But they're waiting, looking. And boy, that person looks for a ball, boom, they're there. Always waiting, waiting for them till he motions. These are all the same thing. Waiting till he answers. Waiting till he directs. Waiting till he commands. It's all about waiting. Always waiting. If you haven't memorized these verses, be a good place to start. I had fainted until I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So here you are. You're traveling to Jerusalem. Lord, I'm in a hurry. I need this. And that's no. Our eyes are upon him. We're focused on him. We're following him. And we're waiting to see what he wants us to do. And again, I say, and the Lord seems to be very slow. Very slow. Waiting. It's not a bad thing. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patient. Oh, that's, wait a minute. Those are two curse words in a row. Wait and patient? Really? Wait patiently for him. Yes, you know the text. Everybody knows this next text. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. By the way, friends, that is, if you live to be, Rosalind Carter died, are you guys listening? Tom just looked it up. Are you listening? 96 and had been married over 77 years. That's a lot of putting up with an old man. Ladies. Judy's too sweet to say it. She's thinking it. By the way, I know what you're thinking, ladies. But by the way, can you imagine? Friend, if you live to be 100, look at me. I don't care where you move. I don't care where you go. I don't care what church you're in. Guess what? You're going to come back to real simple things. Looking to the Lord. In learning to wait until he says, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, here's what I want you to do. And he's very slow, very slow. Well, number three, seeking. Seeking from the Lord. Have mercy. By the way, here you are. You're looking to the Lord as you journey to Jerusalem. You're waiting on the Lord, and you're seeking God's mercy. He's already said in the previous verse, by the way, I should have put both verses here. In verse 2 at the end, he says, so our eyes wait upon the Lord until he have mercy upon us. Until. And then we're actually seeking it. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Seeking. And you could use other language. Asking, praying. I don't care what word you use, requesting, but you're seeking from the Lord. All right, I'm almost done. I'm going to try to reflect. I'm looking around the room. Mike, Pam, you're my age, more or less. You guys are. I don't know how our families were. Have you ever thought about this? people my age or older, and maybe younger, but I know my age, my wife's age. What do you remember about your mother? Hey, look, look, this is what I remember about my mother. All day, every day, doing the same stuff. Can I say this? I'm really dating myself. I'm not Frenchy. I wasn't there with John Paul Jones. By the way, I saw a Reagan joke. I should have sent it to everybody. Ronald Reagan was telling a joke when he was in his 70s. People were picking on him for his age, and he said, and he talked something about, I don't know, was it Thomas Jefferson or George Washington? And he said, but I just want you to know I wasn't there. And then the TikTok video went right to Biden. And Biden was talking about the Constitution and his friend, Jimmy Madison. I don't think you're that old. Cliff, I'm going to give you something that dates me. I can still remember when my mother came home from the grocery store, listen, with something called a TV dinner. Now, there's several things I remember about. I remember her joy. Do you have any idea why? It was the first time in her entire life that you just cooked it, you cooked it in this thing and fed people. Because my mother, and she's not unique, her whole life was, you had to cut. I mean, I remember my mom cutting up chicken so many times, it's ridiculous. Cutting them up, taking off the skin, taking out the stuff in the middle that most of you don't even know exist. You know, all of that stuff. But by the way, it's not unique. Yes? Yes. It was everybody's mother. Guys, ladies, in the 60s and before, a mother spent all day doing stuff that now we don't even think about. TV, you say, what do you remember about a TV dinner? Number one, the excitement of my mother. Number two, when she fed it to us, it tasted something like what it was wrapped up in. Oh, they were the cardboard would have been really a good term for it. But you know what? Mom was excited. She didn't have to cook. Think about this. And before my mom's, look at me. You do this in the Philippines, Dada. Now, you don't do it much anymore. Much. You go to the wet market, and you see a chicken you want, and you say, I want those two chickens, and they killed the chickens, they cut the... But before that, when my mom was a child, and it would be many people in this room, they had to kill the chickens. All day long. By the way, all day long, this was mom's life. By the way, how about this? Let me give you another one. Are you young people with me? Every piece of clothing we had to be what? It had to be ironed. So this is what I remember about my mom. Cutting, cooking, cleaning, ironing. Look at me. Do you ever get over that? Here's our problem in this room. Some of us want to do this. Pastor Warren, I went to that special speaker, and I have now the victory. You never get any victory over looking to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and seeking from the Lord what you need, because you are totally dependent. You say, Pastor Warren, that new preacher, he has TV dinners. Yes, and they end up tasting like TV dinners. Can I say this? And by the way, there's some good cooks in this room. I know this. There's people that can cook really well in this room. But you do realize even cooking from scratch ain't cooking from scratch. When's the last time you had to sift flour? You have to sift rice. I know you have to do the thing, and you have to look for the stones, right? Can I say something to you? Welcome to life. Here's the journey. Looking, hear me, waiting, seeking. And at the end of the day, are you ready? Read the psalm. Still struggling. Why? Because you just never get away from it, because you are not yet in the heavenly Jerusalem. The text says, our soul is exceeding filled with... You say, wait a minute, I've been looking to the Lord. I've been waiting. I've been seeking. Well, that's the whole point. On earth, You never get to the place where, let me summarize, you don't need him. Ever. So if you live to be 96 and you're married 77 years, you will need him to the last moment. And when you get on the other side for the first time in your life, you'll really figure it out how much you really need him. Because you'll be able to see the truth then. Those are the activities of the journey. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our time together. Thank you for this very simple psalm. But yet, it's just where we live. So, the young people in this room, if they follow on and you tarry, they will marry, have children, have grandchildren. We'll be long gone. We'll be in heaven, most of us. We'll be long gone, and they will still be here. And if they're still following you, they'll still be looking, waiting, seeking, and struggling. Because those are the activities of this life. Speak, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.